Our scripture reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 2, actually verses 1 through 21. You get an extra verse this morning. I knew you'd be excited. This is Luke's account of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the very first Pentecost celebration. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They're just filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men and women of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. 'In the last days it will be,' God declares, 'that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men and women shall see visions, and your old men, and not so old women, shall dream dreams as well. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day.'" Now verse 21. "Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of God for the people of God, for which we say, 'Thanks be to God.'" Amen. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock, our Redeemer, and the one who is with us in the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a most amazing account. This 50 days after Passover, 10 days after Jesus' ascension, as Reverend Johnny Lyles preached on that last Sunday, and I appreciated him preaching while we were at annual conference. This story is the story of God's power, of God doing a completely new and amazing thing. And tucked into the second chapter of the book of Acts, it is basically the front door to what will be an entire house full of new things that God will be doing through the power of the Holy Spirit. There are times where I want to do a visual to explain Pentecost, and I would put a table here up on the chancel. I'd put a big bowl, and I would take a pitcher of water, and I'd take a Dixie cup. I would take a Dixie cup, and I would pour that whole pitcher of water into that Dixie cup, knowing that probably after just a few pours, that Dixie cup would be full of water, right? But see, Pentecost is when God continues to pour the water. So gushing over the Dixie cup and landing in the bowl so as to not make too much of a wet spot on the chancel would be the symbol of the power of God's Holy Spirit at work at Pentecost. It is overflowing. It is overflowing. It is abundant. This Holy Spirit is not contained by just a exclusive group of people, not just by one community or by one nation or one ethnicity. When God does something big. And in Pentecost, we see the bigness of God's Holy Spirit. As Joel has prophesied, that prophecy comes true in this moment in Jerusalem. God's Spirit washes over the apostles. You see the imagery that Luke says there were like little flames of fire appeared above them, signs of God's presence, signs of the power of God being with them, not apart from them, but with them. And then as Peter begins to preach at this first Pentecost, as those who have gathered outside are wondering what's going on, these Galileans who all talk kind of funny, Galileans had an accent. people from around the world, at least the Roman world and the Parthian world, are hearing these Galileans speak in languages they could not possibly know. The miracle of Pentecost is the miracle of proclamation. It's that we have a story to tell to the nations. Now notice there are some who said, they're drunk. Not everybody's going to receive the message. We know that. But people listened. The power of this proclamation meant that the church went from about 120 members on that day to about 3,120 after that sermon. Those that had gathered around Jerusalem that were believers of in Yahweh heard this message of Jesus and they were struck to the heart. They were invited into a relationship with Jesus Christ that they had not experienced before. They saw something within the apostles. They heard in their message, in their own language, in their own context, a message of invitation, a message of a God who knows them by name, who loves them, of a Savior who has redeemed them, who has eliminated any separation between God and humanity, and that God is now accessible through Jesus Christ. And what that means, it doesn't mean just that the person has this relationship with God. It means that God is now in the midst of their lives. See, Pentecost is that wonderful sign that God literally invades our everyday by entering into our human lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. There is now no place where God is not in the midst of our daily lives. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God is there in the midst of each and every moment. That is how close our relationship is with God because of Jesus' death on a cross and his resurrection and because of the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. See, before, this is still the era where there's a temple in Jerusalem on Mount Zion. There's still this imagery that we have to go to God. That's the religious part of it. We have to do something or place ourselves in a certain location in order to be close to God. And Pentecost reminds us that that is not reality. Reality is that God makes God's home in the midst of our very lives. God places God's Spirit, as the Apostle Paul says, we, our own physical bodies, become the temple of God's Holy Spirit. We become that acceptable place, not because we've done something right, it's because God loves us that much. God loves us so much that God wants to be in the midst of our everyday, every moment lives. Now be honest, how many of you want to be in the midst of your everyday, every moment lives? Yeah, you get what I mean, right? Sometimes it's hard to be yourself 24/7, 365, right? Although I know that we're always fun people to be around, right? Is that true? Yeah. We're also good at lying, aren't we? It's hard. There are times in our lives, if we're honest, where we would much rather be living somebody else's life. The challenges we may be facing, the struggles that we may be facing, the uncertainties we may be facing, the illnesses, maybe relationship challenges. Sometimes we sit and think, boy, I wish I were this other person. Their lives look so much easier. But in the midst of those challenges, in the midst of those hard times, in the midst of those moments that are chronic because they're day after day after day, God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is present. God says, I want to be there even when it's hard for you to be there. Because I want to be your strength. I want to be your encouragement. I want to be that reminder that I love you completely. And my love is not just based on when things are going well, you did great on the test, you got the promotion, you won the lottery or whatever. I want you to know that I'm going to be there in the darkest, deepest day that you have, in the worst of the experiences of your life. You will not be alone. Through the valley of the shadow of death, David says in Psalm 23, our good shepherd will be with us. Pentecost is that reminder, is that initiation of this new relationship between God and individual human beings. Now, there is literally nothing between us. And the power of the proclamation of this message opened that door to the lives of over 3,000 people who accepted that story. My friends, around us, there is a world waiting to hear the story spoken in our languages, in the midst of our lives, in the midst of how we live day to day as we trust in God, as we face the challenges of life, as we celebrate the good things of life. We take our faith with us into each and every moment, into each and every situation. And this becomes our witness. Do our lives match what we are saying? And that's, quite frankly, has been the greatest stumbling block of the world hearing the message of Jesus Christ, is that too often for Christians, our words have not matched our actions. We've said one thing and then we've done something differently. This scripture is a reminder. Live the message. Live it and speak it. But let people not just hear of grace, let them see it in how you live. Let them just not hear the talk about forgiveness. Let them experience forgiveness and reconciliation in how you treat those around you. Live this presence of the Holy Spirit boldly. Don't be afraid. Don't hold back. God doesn't hold back. In Acts chapter 2, God keeps pouring God's Holy Spirit out upon the world, and it's never stopped. To this day, God's Holy Spirit is at work. I want to share with you something I didn't mention at the 9 o'clock service, but I thought was absolutely fascinating. Do you know where the fastest growing church is in the world? That's a good guess. Africa, that's another really good guess too. Numerically, not in terms of total numbers, but in terms of percentage, it's Iran. The number of Christians in the nation of Iran from 1979, when the Ayatollah, during the revolution till now, is the fastest growing church in the world. That is the power of the Holy Spirit at work in Iran. That is the power of God's Holy Spirit at work in those who continue to live the faith, even in the midst of persecution. They live the faith. And those who have been seeking hope and encouragement and another way of life have responded in Iran. Isn't that incredible? If God is doing that in Iran, with all of the limitations around how you can be and profess your faith in a Shiite Muslim country, imagine what God can be doing through us in the United States, where we don't have those kind of restrictions. We're able to live this faith out each and every day, helping those who are hurt, helping those who are lonely and afraid, helping those who feel they have no community, helping those who've lost their hope. We have that power. We have that privilege. We have that opportunity. Let's make Pentecost real in our lives and our church, because it's happening all around us. God is at work. Now, God will be at work in us as well. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, we give you thanks for the power of your Holy Spirit, that you have placed it within each one of our lives, and that you have invited us, Lord. You have called us into a life of proclamation, where our language, our experiences can be a sign of good news to those around us. Lord, help us indeed to live your message in such a way that our words will match how we are living, and the world will see your good news being lived, shared, offered. May we be part of that amazing invitation that began so long ago, of welcoming another person into relationship with you in Jesus Christ, welcoming another person into the presence and power of your Holy Spirit, welcoming another brother and sister in Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, that we are part of this ongoing story, and it's all because of you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.